Osiris.
Coming at you May 3rd, 2024. It's the inaugural record release from Discograffiti. Metal Machine Muzak is a slanted tribute to Lou Reed's divisive 1975 double LP Metal Machine Music. Lester Bangs called it the greatest album ever made, but no matter how it hits you, it's always been the ultimate music freak secret handshake. My ambient reimagining features four 16-minute, one-second tracks, just like the original, and each one was created by a top-shelf indie rock visionary. Lou Barlow from Dinosaur Jr. and Sebado, Corey Hansen from Wand, W. Cullen Hart from the Olivia Tremor Control, and Mark Robinson from Unrest. That's right, not a slouch in the bunch, unlike 99% of the compilations you've ever begrudgingly purchased for the one and only band on it you just had to hear. Metal Machine Muzak won't be available on streaming. The digital drops on May 3rd. The vinyl will be shipped this summer, and we're taking pre-orders for both right now. The LPs are going fast. They're being produced in a very limited edition run of 300 numbered 180-gram color vinyl double LP gatefold copies, only 100 of which can be ordered online. These copies will be numbered from 1 to 100, and they're first come, first served. To order, just go to patreon.com/discograffiti, then head into our shop. Again, that's patreon.com/discograffiti. Don't miss out on Metal Machine Muzak, the ambient experience designed to make Brian Eno run screaming. Welcome to Discograffiti, the music obsessives podcast that gives freaks like you and me the chance to connect with a brotherhood obsessed with rating the entire discography of every single artist and band that ever mattered. I'm your host, Dave Gebro, and with 3 to 4 episodes each week, you're going to gain a comprehensive knowledge of an act's history and output in the time it takes to listen to one album. Each new guest swings a hard left into an area you either had no idea you needed to know about or know all about and can't believe you're not alone out there. I am thrilled to announce that we have partnered with the podcast network Osiris Media, the leading storyteller in music. You can check out all their music podcasts at osirispod.com. Here we are, finally. It's Discograffiti's Metal Machine Muzak Release Week. Ergo, in this episode, we'll be turning our spray cans on ourselves. Along with our special guest, Unrest's Mark Robinson, one of the exalted contributors to Discograffiti's Metal Machine Muzak Double Tribute LP. This is a very special week here at the show because Robinson, Hart, Hansen, and Barlow have taken the time to detail the approaches they took to each of their 16-minute Metal Machine Muzak pieces. The full lineup's as follows: Lou Barlow on Friday, May 3rd, Corey Hansen from Wand on Sunday, May 5th, Unrest's Mark Robinson on Tuesday, May 7th, and the Olivia Tremor Control's W. Cullen Hart on Wednesday, May 8th. To order Metal Machine Muzak, just head over to patreon.com/discograffiti/shop, or just click either of the links right there in the show notes. But whatever you do, make sure you order it, because it'll blow your effing mind, and it's for a good cause, because it'll help keep this show afloat. Just try to imagine a world without Discograffiti. Yeah, I know, it stinks. And while you're up there ordering on Discograffiti's Patreon, feel free to subscribe as well for the complete versions of all our shows, plus a massive barrage of over 150 extra episodes. Even if you're on the fence, you might as well, because it's completely free to become a basic member. And away we go then! All right, we're here with the captain himself, Mark X. Robinson. What is your middle initial?
R.
R.
A lot of people think it's E.
Oh, no, because a superstar.
I went by Mark E. for a long time, and that's listed on some Unrest records.
Mark E. Superstar, right?
Yeah.
What did E. signify then?
It was just a nickname my roommates had in this house I was living in. Marky.
Oh, okay, so they called you Marky?
Changed it to Mark E. Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking Everyman.
Everyman?
Yeah, because you have that Everyman vibe to you. You have like a diffident accessibility, I would define you as having.
Diffident accessibility.
Did you know that Arthur Lee from Love changed his name in the mid-70s to an adverb, Arthur Lee?
Wow, that's pretty good.
Well, listen, first off, I want to tell you that Metal Machine Muzak, way prior to Discograffiti, it's been a dream of mine for years and years. And there was no actual plan as to how to achieve it. So I really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping me climb what really has been an impossibly steep mountain. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. When I first asked you if you're interested, was there any sense of, oh, Jesus Christ, why won't this guy leave me the fuck alone?
No, I was happy to do it. So it has been a dream of yours for a long time, but you didn't know who was going to be performing this thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, to my way of thinking, this was something that was, you know, I come up with great ideas all the time that are either impossible to execute, the timing is wrong, or it would just take way too much time on my part to actually pursue. But most of them I attempt to pursue, regardless of consequence. This one, there was no in to actually be able to achieve it because it was always, you know, intended to be a compilation record with different artists. So I didn't have a podcast. I knew people, but I didn't know the right kind of people that I'd want to participate, you know, and you actually submitted the first piece.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So what was the idea? Like, why have four people do it instead of just one? Like Lou Reed, it was just one guy.
I think just because coming up through the 80s and 90s and being an avid record buyer and a completist, I mean, look, you had, what was it, Team Beat 100, the single that was basically an album's worth of songs that were 1 minute. I mean, that's brilliant because I've wasted so much money on compilations that had one artist I was interested in and everybody else sucked elephant dicks. You know, I've wasted so much money like that. So the idea of having a compilation with all top tier artists, I could probably count on one, maybe two hands, the number of records like that exist. Hal Willner probably did all of them. Hal Willner did that Disney compilation with Tom Waits and the Replacements back in the early 90s. He passed away. The last thing he did was, I believe, the Mark Bolan tribute record. He was really good at the conceptual angle of, you know, gathering the right artists together. And he worked a lot with Lou Reed. But also it felt achievable. I mean, four artists. And the only rule being 16 minutes and 1 second. You had a fast turnaround. And I love the conceptual approach that you took to it. Now, Joe Kennedy, who I started the podcast with and who I now do shows with every now and then, every time I talk about your piece to him, he just says the same thing. Fucking brilliant, man. Fucking brilliant.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Tell me about, and I don't know if it changed over time, but tell me about your initial conceptual approach to the material, to the piece.
I think my initial approach was, what the hell am I going to do? Shit, this is going to be super hard. I have no idea what I'm going to do.
Because it's a huge blank slate? Because it's such a big piece?
Yeah, there was not really any direction, which was kind of great, and also endless possibilities.
Do you work better with more guidelines or less guidelines?
I mean, I like less guidelines. I mean, I want people to, I didn't want to send this 16-minute long thing that I worked really hard on to you, and you'd be like, this is not at all what I was thinking of. This sucks. You're off the record. No, I like not having any direction generally. Yeah. You know, it was kind of unsure where I was supposed to go with this thing. But then you were kind of like, well, you don't have to really do anything in particular. But then I'm thinking like, well, it should have something to do with Metal Machine Muzak. So I was like, well, it's going to be instrumental. It's kind of slightly droney, kind of like ambient in a way, like the Lou Reed piece, I suppose. And I think I just started, you know, 16 minutes. So it's like at a slow-ish pace. And then I just added stuff. And I think at some point the light bulb went off and I thought I should use our interviews, which I think we had just finished. And we had done 16 hours of interviews. And I had recorded my end of it to send to you for the podcast because we wanted it on a good quality mic and all that. And then I was like, I'll just put them backwards and I'll just play all of the interviews at the same time. And they're backwards and they're on there. And I think it sounds kind of cool like that.
It sounds great, I think. The funniest thing about it is you started off by telling me, okay, it's got to be instrumental. And then there's vocals through the whole thing.
That's true. I think there's even some like forward vocals at some point. There's some words that you can discern. And I'm also like laughing through the whole thing, but it's like backwards laughing, which is kind of cool. Those are kind of the best moments, I think.
They're vaguely creepy.
Right. It's very dark. It's like an evil circus. It kind of reminds me of, I was just listening to it probably for the first time in a couple months before we talked today. And I was kind of getting like King Crimson Lizard vibes. That kind of record has like a whole circus kind of theme going on.
There's a little bit of Anton LaVey that comes through, but the synth programming or whatever sound you're using is such a palliative, calming thing. And there is a build, although I don't want to give it away, but did you at all allow yourself to be informed by the actual Metal Machine music? Actually, let me veer away from that for a second, because a lot of what you do, which I find endlessly fascinating, is you start almost all your projects with a rule. And then you break the rule. It's one of the things I love most about your work. You create the rule, then violate the rule. Was there a rule that you created? Right. It's the, I'm going to make it an instrumental, and then it became all vocals. Yeah.
Right. It is weird. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, breaking the rules.
So I think maybe weird. That was why I wanted to back off, is because you're, to me, a conceptual master, because what seems to inspire most of your work is a concept. A concept creates the music usually, right?
I don't know if it did up until that Flin Flon band. I feel like there wasn't any really rules before that. Like Unrest was like, our whole thing was no rules. So it was kind of like anything goes at any time. But then with Flin Flon, I was like, well, how can I do something different, you know, so people aren't going to be like, it sounds like Unrest. So that's when I started implementing the rules.
Can we go back and re-rate all of your records, please? Since we're talking about your music.
I want to rate them higher. I think I was like, I was just listening to all of the episodes that they've been coming out, the discussion you and I had about rating my records. And I think I was, because you were always rating first. And so I think my ratings are kind of contained by yours within a certain range or something like that. Because you're like, I'll give this a 2. And I was like, shit, my God. And I probably would have given it like a 4, but I was like, all right, 3.2.
Listen.
I was like, maybe it's terrible.
You probably got more 5s than anyone else in the history of the show. That's why it was so grueling at first, because I was like, listen, just hang in there, because once we turn this corner, it's going to get insane.
Right. Yeah. Is there going to be an awards show? Or do you have a like an Oscars for the discography?
Eventually. So what was your instrumental palette?
Synthesizers. That was my instrumental palette. Kick drum and just various sound synthesis. There's no acoustic stuff on there except for, of course, my backwards laughing.
And so once it came together, I'm guessing it came together quickly. Once it started dictating itself to you as far as what it was.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to keep it, I can't remember how long the parts were, but I separated the 16 minutes probably into either 30-second or 1-minute segments just to make sure it wasn't like this repeating thing going on for 16 minutes. I mean, there are some things in there just to anchor it. And then I tried to introduce new things every like 30 seconds or something like that to keep it interesting.
Do you have any message to Lou Barlow? This is a sort of, you know, we got to stop meeting like this on these compilations sort of thing. Because the last time that you crossed paths, to the best of my knowledge, on a compilation was the 6th Wasp's Nests.
That was a long time ago.
It was.
I haven't heard any of the other tracks on the Metal Machine Muzak.
Well, you know, of course, this is not going to be your first record with Locked Grooves on it. Your work in Flin Flon has the most memorable, aside from Sgt. Pepper, in my mind, the most memorable Locked Groove experience that I've ever been part of. Just in case the kids at home have not heard your episode.
I was actually listening to 23 Skidoo yesterday. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but there was a record of theirs at my college radio station. And I think there was Locked Grooves in the middle of the record. So you had to like pick up the needle and put it down to keep the record moving. Because otherwise you were just stuck there in the middle of the record. And so that was always kind of intriguing. And I remember talking to the guy who cut our lacquers, and I said, how much does a lock groove cost? I was thinking I would just do one at the end or something like that everybody else does. And he's like, nothing. And I was like, well, how many would 2 be? Nothing. He's like, you can do as many as you want. I was like, wow, okay. All they got to do is push a button, that's done. So I said, can you put a lock groove after each song? And he said, no problem. So you have to lift the record up for each song. I think there's 10 songs on the record. And we got hate mail about that. But people didn't complain when we put out 7-inch singles and they had to flip the record over. So I'm not sure what everybody was so upset about.
You know, since you put it that
way. So it was like 10 singles.
But what I love about this is that, at least this is the way I remember you telling the story initially, is that it was a last minute decision. You were just about ready to start producing the thing. You're like, you know what, do it completely differently, which I love.
Because that's one of the last steps before you make a record. So yeah, it was definitely a last minute thing. Just when I had a conversation with him. But yeah, that we might do a different edition without lock grooves. It's going to be revolutionary.
Maybe you'll get double the hate mail.
Exactly. Actually, for this one, you know what we should do? There's another record, I can't remember the name of, dual grooves. So depending on where you put the needle down, you're going to get one song or you're going to get another song.
That's so cool.
Think about that.
But I would imagine not every phonograph can handle that, right? You would need like a really...
No. Any turntable could handle that. I think the question would be, can the lathe cutting the lacquer handle that?
That's cool. Well, I'm eagerly awaiting your second Metal Machine Muzak piece to put on that other part of the groove.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be exciting. Although I wonder if we have to edit the first one down to 8 minutes and half a second.
Oh, you would need to...
Because it would take up more space.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they're dual grooves. So every other groove is the other song.
Oh, that's cool.
It's crazy. I don't know how they did it.
I want to tell you that seriously, you know, I mean, I know we have a bizarre tete-a-tete in our series of episodes. You know, our relationship is really, to me, the selling point of the episodes. We have a very unique relationship. But if it doesn't come across really front and center, you know, the love that I have for you and the, you know, befuddlement that you were actually a part of this is always going to be an awe-inspiring thing in my life. And I'm deeply indebted to you for saying yes. And, you know, not only just realizing the dream of Metal Machine Muzak, but I truly do love you. And I'm amazed and in a beatific state of wonderment that you're a part of it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun. And I'm happy to be a part of it. Can't wait.
Yeah,
it's a release date.
There's going to be a Patreon release date. And then there's going to be the vinyl release date. Once I deliver it, I think that's going to be like a month and a half to 2 months away, the vinyl. And then people can order it either a digital package, a vinyl package, or both.
Cool.
Yeah. And then the fourth package will be all of those, plus they get to use that ceiling glory hole up there. Does rain get in through there? I can't
tell. No, it was funny because I was listening to your John Worcester thing, and you were kind of saying similar things. And you were like... And did that hit you in the test? How did that hit you in the testicular region? And he was really good. He was just like totally ignored what you said and just kept talking.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was like, he's pretty skilled at this.
Yeah. Anyway, man, thank you
so much. Thank you
for being a part of this.
No problem.
All right, that about does it. Stay tuned, because next up on the docket, we've got W. Cullen Hart from the Olivia Tremor Control and Circulatory System. A heartfelt discography thanks goes out to my beautiful son, Mason, the incomparable Mark Robinson, Michael Dutcher, Rudy Fishman, Becky Boyd, my incredibly loyal fans, and especially the entire Patreon community, the Soldiers of Sound. I love every last one of you, and this show would not exist without you, my friends. Speaking of friends, it's high time for some new ones. They're in our Facebook group, Discography Soldiers of Sound. That's the best way to find out what's coming up on the show, but there's a hell of a lot more. You get recaps of the day in music history, the ability to pitch questions to guests, polls that put you in the driver's seat on guest and band decisions, and access to a thriving creative hub if you're looking for a collaborator. So make sure you don't miss out. You can find the link to the Discography Soldiers of Sound Facebook page right there in the show notes. And if you don't mess with the Zuck, no sweat. Just email me at info@discography.com and I'll keep you in the loop. So now that it's done and you want more, another way to dive even deeper into the four visionaries featured on the upcoming Metal Machine Muzak tribute album is to leap headfirst into Lou Barlow Rates the Zombies. That's episodes 59 and 60 Unquestionably the greatest Lou Barlow interview of all time. That's episode 62. Juan's Corey Hansen rating his band's entire discography plus his solo work. That's episodes 120 and 121. And don't miss his Patreon companion episodes. W. Cullen Hart rating the Olivia Tremor Control and the Circulatory System. That's episodes 131, 132, and 133. With substantially elongated edits in our Patreon for the Lieutenant and Major tiers, and the epic 16-hour Mark Robinson interview, which is episodes 128, 130, 135, and 136, with massively elongated companion edits on our Lieutenant and Major tiers and our Patreon as well. And of course, be sure to mark your calendars, because we're coming at you raging full on with Metal Machine Music Week. Trust me, you're not going to want to miss a single second of it. And so, from now till then, don't let our youth go to waste, lads and ladies. It's Discograffiti!
Osiris.